Rejoice always. At least that is what St. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians. But it sounds like piety disconnected from reality. In all circumstances, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. But is he serious? Give thanks in all circumstances? Sometimes our circumstances seem to require complaint rather than thanks. What could he mean? In chapter 4 of the Gospel according to St. Luke, we read that the Lord Jesus returned to Nazareth after his baptism by John in the Jordan, and there in the synagogue where he grew up, the son of Mary was handed a scroll to read on the Sabbath. He opened the scroll and read the words of today's first lesson from the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring glad tidings to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and release to prisoners, to announce a year of favor from the Lord and a day of vindication by our God. This text of the prophet Isaiah was widely understood by the Jews of that time to mean that the Anointed One, the Messiah, would raise an army and throw off the yoke of Roman rule to restore independence to Israel. And so when Christ read this text in Nazareth, in which he described himself as anointed by God, and then announced, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing," Luke tells us that all spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth. But then immediately something went wrong. The Lord Jesus challenged the people of Nazareth to look beyond their preconceptions of him and of the Messiah's mission. And because of his challenge to them, there was trouble. In fact, only 6 verses after we read that all spoke well of him, we then read this. All in the synagogue were filled with wrath, and they rose up and put him out of the city and led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him down headlong. So what did Christ say to them to turn his hometown congregation from admiration to murderous rage? He told them that the Gentiles were often more faithful to God than Jews, with the implication that others would come to the kingdom of God before them, which meant that the kingdom to come was not what they were expecting. This was simply too much for them, not least because they thought that Jesus really was just the son, as they supposed, of their neighbor Joseph. So when the words of Jesus pleased the people of Nazareth, they were full of praise for him. But when his words rebuked them, they were full of anger. And how often are we just the same? When things are going well, it is easy to praise the Lord. But in times of distress, we pray for blessings for ourselves or others. Blessings like the healing of an illness, freedom from addiction or habitual sin, or the finding of a better job or more satisfying relationship. It is not wrong, of course, to ask for such blessings. But when we make the reception of blessings a condition for continuing to rejoice in the greatness of the Lord, then we imitate the people of Nazareth in praising the Lord only so long as he says what we want to hear. But Christ's kingdom is not of this world, and he no more guarantees health and prosperity for his disciples now than he intended to raise an army and liberate Israel then. His mission is not of that kind. It never was, and it never will be. Instead, Christ came to redeem the human race from sin and death, and he accomplished that mission by his suffering and death in the way of the cross, a way in which he insists we must accompany him if we are to share his glory. It is from this perspective that we must understand Mary's great hymn of praise called the Magnificat, a portion of which takes the place of the psalm today. In this prayer, offered when Gabriel announced the news of the incarnation of the eternal Word, Mary fulfilled the precept of St. Paul to rejoice always and to give thanks to God in all circumstances. But some people read this text as a manifesto for political revolution, and to do so is to fall into the same error that turned the hapless citizens of Nazareth against the Lord Jesus. Just as the Messiah was never going to be a conquering general, the Gospel of Jesus Christ does not include the blueprints for organizing any political or economic system. Yes, revealed truth can help us identify and overturn injustice where it exists, but the kingdom of God cannot be found in any earthly kingdom or arrangement of human affairs. No, the good news of salvation in Christ calls us to repentance and saving faith in the Lord Jesus, faith in God the Son who became the Son of Mary. It is in response to that supreme gift that Mary sings, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked upon his lowly servant. From this day all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever." My friends, by our baptism, we have become children of Abraham. We have been called by Christ, called by name, to live our entire lives in the freedom of the children of God through continuing conversion and the obedience of faith in his gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe that the Son of Mary is God the Son. Following the Messiah and sharing in his cross will always entail hardship. And so the absence of worldly blessings should never be taken as a sign that Christ has failed us in any way. Blessings we will have, of course, and burdens as well. But in all circumstances, the good and the bad alike, we must give thanks and, like Mary, proclaim the greatness of the Lord and rejoice in God our Savior. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.